Program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to the Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to the Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. It won't be long, 27, 28 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all, as the announcer said, no manipulation. That means we don't try to con people. We're not trying to hustle you. We're not asking you for money. We're not trying to solicit funds, sell you anything. We're just offering information. Make no mistake about it. The Flatline is designed for one thing: to bring you to an understanding of God's plan and will for your life through Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God. If you don't know for sure whether or not you have eternal life, there's no reason you should ever doubt it. Because the Bible says in 1 John, these things are written so that you might know that you have life. And you can count on God. He's not a liar. If you make a decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, He's not going to bail on you when you fail. He's not going to leave you when you mess up. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. So this show, first and foremost, is to encourage you to make the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, the eternal decision to receive Christ as your Savior by a simple act of faith alone in Christ alone. I did it by prayer. I asked God to save me. I got on my knees and prayed and said, Lord, I know I'm lost. I know I'm going to hell, and I'm asking you to save me today. I'm willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't feel funny. I didn't feel any emotional thing, but it happened. God did what He said He would do, and He will do it for you as well. So please, understand the first thing in this show, the most important thing in this show, is your relationship with God through Christ Jesus, His anointed Son. Secondly, if in fact you are a Christian and you have made that decision, then we'd like to talk to you about how the mechanics of God works. What does the plan of God entail? How do you know you're living God's will for your life? And we offer plain, simple, basic truths called the Flatline, F-L-O-T. That stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And this is something my pastor taught me years ago. This is not original for me. This is his message that he taught me, and I'm repeating it to you. But he taught me how to rebound, how to confess my sin when I messed up. 1 John 1:9, which is the first problem-solving device. He taught me how to be filled with the Holy Spirit from Ephesians 5:18, where the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. And he showed me that when I rebounded, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and when I sinned, I quenched the Holy Spirit. He taught me the faith rest drill. He taught me grace orientation. He taught me doctrinal orientation. He taught me a personal sense of destiny, how to have personal love for God, how to have impersonal love for others. He explained what it meant to share the happiness of God and what it meant to be occupied with Christ. And that's what we try to teach you on this radio show. Those 10 unique problem-solving devices I learned years ago from my very own pastor. We've written a book about it called Christian Problem Solving. It's free. If you'd like to have it, just contact us through our website or call us 800-831-0718. 800-831-0718. We will send it to you free of charge. Today, before we get wound up on what we want to cover, I'd like to talk about something. Let's talk about happiness. Happiness. Really being happy. You know, that's the question I want to ask you. It's are you happy? And the opposite of happiness, what do you think that is? Well, it's miserable. Are you happy? Or are you miserable? I've talked on the phone this week with a lot of people that call, and so many people are miserable because of past failures or circumstances and events in their life. So that's the question I have to ask you this morning. Do you live a miserable existence? Are you sick of certain people? Circumstances? Anything that causes you extreme unhappiness? Do you have circumstances in your life that cause confusion and chaos? Are all of these situations causing you to worry or even experience depression? The scriptures tell us this in Job 14:1. Man born of a woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Man born of a woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. That means that he has a life filled with one crisis after another. If I tried to describe a life of misery to you, I would put it this way. One, to be very uncomfortable or be unhappy, living in a state of distress, or being depressed over unfair circumstances. And two, I would say miserable individuals often mistake prosperity as a cure for their loneliness. But the truth is the myth of this world. The truth is that the myth of this world is a lie. The secret to happiness does not lie in people or circumstances. The secret to happiness lies in the very words that the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced in Luke 11:28, where he said these words to a woman who suggested that happiness was related to his mother. And he said, quote, "Now, on the contrary, happiness belongs to those who hear the word of God and keep it." On the night before his crucifixion, he taught the disciples these things. And here's what he said, "I have taught you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full." That's in John 15:11. These things are the doctrines that he taught them the last night he was alive with them. You remember the Reverend Billy Graham, the famous worldwide evangelist? He was quoted as saying this about being happy. He said, "The happiness God offers brings enduring worth to life. It's not really the superficial happiness that depends on circumstances, but rather the happiness and the contentment," notice those two things go together, "that fills the soul even in the midst of the most distressing circumstances or bitter environment." The truth that I hope you will grasp today is that there's something that overrides all adversity and all heartache and is called the plan of God. Listen as I read this verse to you, 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over," or through, excuse me, "thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's the victory of life, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does Christ deliver you from eternal damnation called the lake of fire, and that awaits the devil and all his fallen angels, but the Lord Jesus Christ offers you a new way to live when you adopt his mindset. It's a life that's free of fear, free of worry, free of doubt, and full of confident expectations. Paul wrote it this way in Philippians 1:6, "being confident in this very thing, that he," that's Christ, "he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Unfortunately, many people spend a lot of money trying to improve their quality of life. And there's nothing wrong with living a healthy lifestyle, but if you ignore your spiritual life, you will just be a very fit person, still very miserable. In 1 Timothy 4:8, the Bible says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness," which is another term for the spiritual life, "godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So the spiritual life is much easier to maintain than the physical life. Many people, when I say the spiritual life, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about. There is a way to live under divine viewpoint, learning the problem-solving devices called a spiritual life. This is where you live in your brain, the Christian life. Not in your feet, in your brain. You have mentality, you have volition, you have conscience, you have self-consciousness. And when you learn God's word and store it in your consciousness, and your volition chooses to exercise positive volition toward what God says, then you're living the Christian life. Then you can have victory over the world. Then you'll understand the spiritual life is much easier to maintain than the physical life. You're getting older like me. The physical life starts to break down, but the spiritual life, the older you get, gets stronger. It's completely opposite. If you grow in grace, the spiritual life is strongest as you're getting the oldest, when your physical life is the weakest. The spiritual life has eternal benefits, but your physical life only wears out. Listen to what was in the Bible in Matthew 6:19-20. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." That's the spiritual life. That's you developing a spiritual life with eternal rewards. So the spiritual life, not the physical life, is the key to your success and your happiness. And your spiritual life is the answer to stability in a nation such as ours that is going through the turmoil we're going through. How could you be the answer? Well, I'll read it to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, those are believers, who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's the right attitude, humility is teachability, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and here comes the volitional decision, turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Well, what exactly are the wicked ways that we're doing today? The Bible clearly teaches in Hosea 4, you have forgotten my word. You don't have any knowledge. You know me, but you don't understand me. We supplement ritual for reality. What the world is seeking can be found in a relationship with the God of this universe, who is none other than Christ Jesus. And it's through him and because of him that you can have peace with God and happiness, not miserable in a sin-ridden world. So if you've discovered that the world offers, if you've discovered what the world offers has not given you the enjoyment you're seeking, then maybe now, maybe today, maybe right now, it's time to start a new life in Christ. Today, you can place your faith in the work of Christ on the cross, and you can receive him as your Savior today. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Word of God clearly says he has made him, Christ, who knew no sin, he was a sinless perfection, to be sin for us, he took our place. So he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God by means of him. If God is perfectly righteous and we are perfectly unrighteous, how could we ever have fellowship with God? So the Bible says there are none that are righteous, no, not even one. All of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. So the only way that you can have any identification with God is when you receive the righteousness of Christ imputed to you, just like he received your sins imputed to him. When you make a decision to receive Christ as your Savior, his righteousness is given to you, and you are on equal standing with him, and you're able to be a member of God's royal family. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You remember when you went to school years and years and years ago, there was an old chalkboard, and it was dusty and chalky, and the teacher would take a wet sponge and clean it, and the chalkboard would look clean and crystal clear again. This is what happens when you believe in Christ. All your sins are gone, wiped away. You start all over, the brand new life, when you're born again. Just as Jesus instructed Nicodemus, you begin a new life, not a physical life, but a spiritual life. That means that God the Holy Spirit will indwell you. He will mentor you in what's available to you through God's Word. And if you learn of your new assets and in fact do use them, then your potential for happiness is unlimited. I'm not saying you won't need to see a doctor from time to time. I'm not saying you might not need counseling from time to time. But I'm telling you this, that if you learn God's Word and exercise a faith rest drill and develop a relaxed mental attitude, stand on the promises of God, you don't have to worry, you don't have to be upset, you don't have to be, in some sort of miserable status in your life. You can have objective optimism through Christ our Lord. Don't make the mistake of confusing happiness taught in the Scripture with the fact of the details of life, which are just momentarily, and they do fade away. The new happiness I'm trying to tell you about, the new happiness I'm speaking about, is related to the immaterial part of your soul and your spirit, not the material part of your body, not the bed you sleep on, not the automobile you drive around in, but what's in your brain. The immaterial part of you, your soul, this is where the happiness is. God's matchless grace designed a spiritual life for you to live in. And when you live in His power by means of the Holy Spirit, and enjoy his provisions by means of the Word of God, then you can overcome the worst of your environment and have contentment the way the world does not possess. In Philippians 4:11, Paul wrote about that. He said, not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned, whatever state I am, to be content. He wasn't unhappy because he didn't have something, and he wasn't happy because he did have something. Happiness is not related to circumstances. Happiness is not related to people. Happiness is related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice this? Listen, a self-contained happiness that is your constant companion is available, and you will be able to rise above circumstances in your life. Self-contained happiness is available. In Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. Joy, you hear that word, joy, in the Holy Spirit. There's your self-contained happiness. Did you notice I said peace and joy? Do you have peace in your life? Are you happy? Because if not, it's time to start over by receiving Christ as your Savior. And if you've already made that decision but still find no peace and no joy in your life, it's not because God does not provide these things for you. It's because you neglected your spiritual opportunities. And you allow the devil, a.k.a. Lucifer, Satan, to distract you. Or maybe you allowed the flesh to enslave you. Or maybe even you gave in to the world and was seduced by the promises the world offers, but cannot be kept. So if you'll let me, if you don't mind, I wish you would just let me for a few minutes here. Let me list a few things that are available to the believer who seeks to grow spiritually. First of all, if you take God's word and learn it and apply it into your life and use it, you can have tranquility of soul. Yes, you can live a calm life in spite of the circumstances, in spite of who's in power politically, in spite of what you do have or don't have financially, in spite of any relationship you do have or don't have. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to be miserable. You can have a tranquility of soul simply by this. Here's the problem-solving devices. Simply by confessing your sin of worry, by being filled with the Holy Spirit, where the part of the fruit of the Spirit is peace and joy and love and long-suffering, and using the faith rest drill. Those are the first three promise-solving devices. What is a faith rest drill? Standing behind the promises of God and using them as a shield of faith to protect you from the fiery darts of the wicked one. There is no reason for you not to live a calm life. There's no reason for you to be apprehensive. There's no reason for you to be worrying about anything. You can have tranquility of soul if you grow spiritually and become a mature believer. Number two, another thing that's available to you is no stress-related sins to dominate you. That's right. No, you don't have to worry. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to get bitter. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, put all that behind you. Don't get bitter. Don't worry. Don't get full of malice. You know, I watch people, and it's very interesting to see how mad people get about certain things. Mad on the interstate, get out and fight in the middle of the road, drive up and shoot each other. Neighbors fight over their property lines. People fight over relationships. There's a better way to live. No stress-related sins to dominate you. You mean tell me I can live without being worrying? Yes. Are you telling me I can live without getting angry? Yes. Are you telling me I can live without being bitter? Yes. How do I do that? Well, you have contentment. That's available to you through the filling of the Holy Spirit and through the intake of the Word of God on a daily basis. You can be content. You can have a wonderful life full of contentment. As Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content. Your happiness is not related to whether you're able to pay all your bills this month or not. Your happiness is not related to your sickness or not. Your happiness is not related to what people say about you or don't say about you. Remember what Jesus said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. He called it joy. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a relaxed mental attitude that is unbelievable in the middle of the most extreme trials. You can have contentment. And you can have a number point four, an attitude of gratitude. That's appreciation for what God has given to you. Not jealousy, not bitterness, but attitude of gratitude. There's a verse that says, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and have a superabundance of happiness in it. because of His unfailing love and mercy every day. Each day you get up and look out the window. If the sun is shining or if the rain is raining, it doesn't make any difference. You need an attitude of gratitude that God gave you one more day to represent Him on this earth. One more day to enjoy all of His grace benefits. And that means that you're not threatened by any circumstances that you may face in your life today. You don't have to be threatened by circumstances. I know going to the doctor is not fun. Hearing bad news is not fun. These are simply circumstances of this life. This body is going to wear out. This body is going to shut down. We got a new body coming, a resurrection body. The Bible says the eye has not seen, the ear has never heard, the heart has never felt the amazing things God has for you. Maybe you've never thought about that. You're going to get a new body, and it won't wear out. But I'm telling you what's going with you. Your soul is going with you. Your thoughts are going with you. Your body will go to the grave and perish as it's supposed to. But your soul, your mentality of your soul, will go with you into your resurrection body. And you will be able to know and understand and learn things you haven't seen yet. God's matchless grace means you're not threatened by any circumstances. So you have security and you have confidence. You're very secure and you're very confident in God's plan. You don't have to worry. And then you have stability in your life. Stability from the Word of God in your soul. That means you're not bounced back and forth, carried around by every little bit of doctrine that comes along. The Bible talks about that. I'll read it to you. The spiritual life I'm talking about is contained in those 10 problem-solving devices. I call it the flat line. And learning those 10 problem-solving devices is the most important thing you will ever do. The most important thing you'll ever do. Why? Well, because if you don't know them, if you don't use them, you cannot glorify God to the max if you're a Christian. They are the mechanics to the Christian life. That spiritual life I'm talking about requires far more than an occasional rededication at a revival. It's much more than a praise and worship service or a retreat weekend for singles or married couples. You know, these things might be refreshing, but they don't teach you how to maintain fellowship with God by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, nor do they teach the faith rest drill or any of the other basic biblical doctrines required for you to glorify God to the maximum in your life. Sadly, many believers are satisfied with spiritual appetizers rather than the steak of the in-depth teaching from the Scriptures. Many churches that are packed out offer appetizers. Many churches that offer in-depth Bible teaching are not packed out. People don't want that. They'd rather be entertained. They'd rather be get a little shot of 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, and go about their way. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said about in-depth teaching from the Scriptures. He said, "We have a lot to say to you, but it's hard to explain because you're dull of hearing, which means you can't concentrate. For though by this time you should be a teacher," it means you've been saved a long time, "but in fact now you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." That's the basics. "And you have come to need milk and not solid food." It means you're still on the bottle. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's just a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." This is why it's necessary for you to be under the teaching of a well-qualified pastor. In Ephesians 4, "And he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints." Note that, equipping of the saints. "For the work of the ministry." Note that. "For the edifying of the body of Christ." Note that. "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature individual after the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men who in cunning craftiness deceitfully plot against you. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up and do all things unto him who is the head, Jesus Christ our Lord, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by every joint, and it supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And it causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love." You are a member of the body of Christ if you're a believer. God has given someone a spiritual gift to guide you and teach you, your shepherd, your mentor, your pastor, teacher. And if you sit under his authority, if you listen to him teach the word of God and apply into your life what he teaches, then you will be able to live a life without any misery. You'll be able to live a life full of contentment, full of happiness, being occupied with the person of Christ. So, again, you're not miserable, are you? Are you living a miserable existence? Because you sure don't have to. There's a better way to live, a better way to enjoy life, a better way to go through your day than sitting around worrying and being upset and being angry and being frustrated. It's the Christian life, the spiritual life that we talk about. And it only comes through listening to the teaching of the Word of God and applying what you hear into your life, and hopefully coming from a well-qualified pastor. Not you trying to teach yourself, not you trying to read some book that some dude sold you about how to be happy, but sitting under a pastor and listening to him crank it out line by line, word by word, verse by verse, until you understand what this is all about. Well, I'm very grateful you listened to me today as I ranted and raved about how to be happy and not be miserable. I hope you're listening, and I hope you're paying attention. That's why we're here, to encourage you, to point you in the right direction, to encourage you to find that pastor teacher and get under his ministry and grow in grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's our intention to be back next week, if God will allow, same time, same place. Until then, we need your prayers, we need your encouragement, and we thank you for listening. So until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. Those of you that are used to the intro, you know what I'm about to say. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. Always done without any manipulation, because we're not trying to con anybody into giving any money. We're not trying to sell you something. We're not trying to ask you to join up, fess it up, give it up. But we are going to ask you to listen up. Listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if I'm able to do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. This is show 938, 938 Sundays we've been on the air across America. And we're still in the process of signing new radio contracts for the year 2024. So let me ask you to do me a favor. If you are listening in your city, I would love to know about it. We currently broadcast in over 100 cities without selling any type of commercials, which means we depend solely on the grace of God to provide our financial needs. So we really don't want to waste money if we're playing in cities where no one's listening. So if you are listening, please let us know, and we won't waste our money in places where no one's tuning in. Okay, that's a fair question, and please, you can always contact us at 800-831-0718, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. Thank you for considering those questions for me, and I appreciate your response. Now, let's get into what I want to talk about today. Today's lesson, I want to use a military analogy that I trust will motivate you to follow the colors to the high ground of spiritual maturity. Follow the colors to the high ground of spiritual maturity. What do I mean by follow the colors? Well, during the war between the states, which was 1861 to roughly 1865, Many soldiers, both Confederate and Union soldiers, were wounded and killed carrying the company color, the company flag, into battle. Those who carried the color into battle put themselves in incredible danger because the company colors allowed soldiers to see where their unit was located on the battlefield. And in the confusion of combat and the haze of the battle, it was essential that the company or the regiment know where their lines were located so they did not fall behind or even advance too far without protection and support. Many of these color bearers did not even carry weapons, which left them unable to defend themselves. And if the color bearer was shot or mortally wounded, another member of the unit would normally pick up the colors in order to avoid the disgrace of losing their colors. The color served as a symbol of the ideals and values the men were fighting to uphold, such as family, duty, and honor. And that flag, those colors, served to rally their men and increase their morale. When they saw it, it would encourage them to fight on when they otherwise might not have done so. Those men that carried the colors were made up of an elite unit called a Color Guard Unit, led by a color sergeant, and it consisted of up to a dozen soldiers. And great courage was necessary to carry that flag into combat battle, because everybody knew that the enemy would be aiming for him, the guy carrying the colors, so they could kill him and cause confusion and chaos in the ranks. As the flag was typically the front of the unit, it was the color bearer that was very exposed, and the man who carried those colors drew lead like a magnet. There was a man named John Strikeleather of the 4th North Carolina Regiment. He said this about the nature of the men chosen to bear the colors. And I quote what he said. He said, "I doubt if there was ever a nobler hero in the war, North or South." At the Battle of Seven Pines, Strikeleather volunteered to carry the colors. This is the same battle in which all 25 officers of his regiment were lost, and South Carolina's Palmetto sharpshooters lost 10 of 11 members of the color guard. At one point, the flag passed through four hands without ever touching the ground as each one of the color bearers was shot. Private Berry of the 4th Texas Regiment was captured at Antietam, and he said something like this as he described it. And this is a different battle, of course, in Antietam, but he said, "I saw coming up the road from the battlefield some colors. Our captured major that I was with asked the Yankee who had the colors where he got them. He said, 'I got them in a cornfield.' And I knew those colors. And I told him they belonged to the 1st Texas Regiment. And he said there were 13 dead men laying on the ground around it when he found it. I asked him to hand it to me for a moment, which he did. I took it in my hands. I kissed it, handed it back to him with tears blinding my eyes." End quote. I tell you this information to encourage you to pick up the colors of Christ and lead the way for your friends and your family. I'm not asking you to make some non-binding emotional decision about your commitment to the cause of Christ. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to obey the Bible, where the Bible says these words. You ready? Romans 12:11. "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." As a personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are in fact a believer, this is a challenge you should be aware of. When the Apostle Paul wrote, "never lacking in zeal," the Greek New Testament uses a word called akneros, O-K-N-E-R-O-S, akneros, for lacking. And it means not being sluggish or not being reluctant. And then if we come to the word zeal, it's the word spoude, S-P-O-U-D-E. And that's a diligence to accomplish something. Don't be lacking in diligence to accomplish something. Your spiritual responsibilities are to carry the colors for our Lord Jesus Christ, so that there will rally around you others who see that and be inspired by what you hold so dear in your life. The colors for the believer, you and I, consist of the sacred scriptures. And if we learn and apply the scriptures into our lives, we are essentially following the colors to the high ground of spiritual maturity. Now, I remind you that it is the job of a well-qualified pastor to lift the colors high and by teaching the Word of God and encourage you to follow them. So then he went on to say, "never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Keeping your spiritual fervor. The Greek word zeo means to boil with heat or to be on fire. keeping your spiritual fervor, your pneuma, your spirit, P-N-E-U-M-A, spiritual. That's keeping your determination to finish what God started and not sit the war out on the sideline as a battlefield casualty. I pray that's not you. I pray you're not the believer who stepped aside, got out of the conflict, sat down, and felt sorry for yourself, and you're not willing to stand up front and carry the colors. This type of sluggish attitude is indicative of believers who fail to advance in the plan of God. Many believers, maybe even you, fall back when the battle gets too intense. I mean, come on, did you really think Satan would ignore you? In fact, if you actually determined to start representing Christ to your generation, do you think he would ignore you? I have a friend that made a life-changing decision to do that, to make sure that he took in the Word of God daily, to not let his business affairs interfere with church, and so that he could be there and learn as the Word of God was taught by his pastor. And when he made that decision, all heck broke loose in his life, and everything that could have possibly happened to him, trying to discourage him. So you can't let that happen to you. Satan will not ignore you if you, in fact, determine to pick up those colors and follow the colors to the high ground. Our Lord addressed this type of believer, this sluggish attitude, this believer that was not willing to follow the colors, when he said these words in Revelation 3:14-16. He said, I am aware of your spiritual life. You are not cold. You are not hot, but instead you are just lukewarm, and I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. What does that mean? Well, he was speaking there to the church, and he said this, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're not on fire, you're not cold, but you're just lukewarm, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Meaning what? Meaning your spiritual life is distasteful or soured or sickening. For months you've listened to me encourage you to grow. Grow spiritually under a well-qualified pastor, and there's hardly a week that goes by that someone doesn't write to me and say, where can I find him? Where can I find a well-qualified pastor in my city? And sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have to do what I do, and that's use the internet and use streaming video or order DVDs or MP3s. But there are men that are teaching the Word of God line by line, word by word, and they are available to you, and they don't charge. They're not Hollywood performers. They're just solid, sound, systematic Bible teachers. And you can sit at home if you can't find a place locally where you can go and learn the Word of God, sitting there at your kitchen table or your desk with your Bible open, your notebook in your hand, and studying under a pastor teacher. Yes, you can do that. But some have made no attempt to start doing that very thing. They're saved. They're wonderful, patriotic Americans. No one doubts that. But their spiritual life is lagging. So how could God possibly depend on you to pick up the colors and lead the way if you're still sitting on the sidelines? Each of us, that's Christians, we're in a war. The Bible tells us that. Paul laid it out in Ephesians 6:11-18, where he said these words. It's lengthy, but let me read it to you. He said, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of the dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Because of this, put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand when the evil day comes. And after you have done everything, you'll keep standing. So stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So you see in this lengthy passage I read to you in Ephesians 6:11-18, you see in these verses that Paul penned the battle that we all face as believers. And that's the battle that we have to go through. That's why you have to carry the colors. The problem-solving devices are presented in the belt of truth. Notice this. notice that we talk about capacity righteousness. We talk about the faith rest drill. We talk about the shield of faith. All these things in this problem-solving devices that we read from. Those 10 unique problem-solving devices that we taught you on the radio show, they are listed in this passage. With standing firm, the belt of truth. That's the problem-solving devices. That's knowing the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness is you manufacturing those things that glorify God in your life. And the faith rest drill is the shield that protects you when things go wrong and when things happen bad, so that you don't get discouraged. You stand behind the promises of God and claim them. You know, in Ezekiel 22:30, God said these words, "I am looking for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I could find no one." This passage in Ezekiel 22 addresses the problem that Israel faced. They were failing their spiritual heritage. They were committing apostasy. And what is that? Ezekiel 22:8. Listen carefully. Here it is. Quote, "You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths." The nation was also involved in idolatry and immorality. Listen to 22:11. "One has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another his sister, his father's daughter." That's idolatry and immorality. "They had turned their backs on God," verse 12, 22:12, Ezekiel, "you have forgotten me," declares the Lord. Does this accusation sound familiar to you? Does it happen to sound like the very things we've done right here in good old USA? I mean, we beg God to deliver us from the wars. We beg God to protect us. And then we get preoccupied with the gifts and forget who the giver is. And slowly but surely, we sink into apostasy and morality and criminality. So the question to be asked this morning is, how can you pick up those colors and lift them up for everybody to see? How can you do that? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said these words. Listen carefully. In John 3:14-15, he said to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Our Lord spoke those words to Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who came seeking information under the cover of darkness, because he was afraid he could be criticized for seeking out Jesus. And these words, of course, refer to his death on the cross and proof that our Lord knew his destiny was to die a substitutionary death on that cross in order to redeem man from the law of sin and death. And the challenge to you, the challenge to me, is this. Will we seize the colors and lift up Christ in spite of the dangers that it may bring into our life? Are we willing to do that? That's the question that we have to be asked. So exactly how do you go about lifting up the colors? How do you do that? Does this imply that you should go out on street corners and start preaching about who he is? I believe you and I are called to represent the Lord Jesus Christ by replicating his thinking first and foremost. Where in Philippians 2:5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." His mindset was total humility, and his actions were total obedience to the Father's will. No doubt about it. So, in fact, you and I are called to learn from him. In Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke and learn of me," Jesus said. "My yoke is easy." He said it's easy. It's not hard. It just requires some humility. You have to learn to replicate his thinking. And so, if you're going to learn from him, it's in the scriptures, it's recorded, it's in the Bible. As you study the Bible, as you read the Bible, as your pastor breaks open the Word of God, he's lifting up the colors for you to focus on. And then as you leave church, you lift up Christ, picking up the colors in your life. Here's something you must remember. The Christian color bearer, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can't do this in the energy of the flesh. And you do that by using Rebound when necessary. You remember Rebound, problem-solving device number one on the flat line of your soul. Rebound is quoting 1 John 1:9, where it says, "If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to purify us from all wrongdoing." This is how you are filled with the Spirit. When you're born, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, but when you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. That comes after you're born again. You are indwelt and filled, and then you sin. You did not lose the indwelling, but you lost the filling. It's possible right now you are not filled with the Holy Spirit because you have sin in your life you haven't confessed. If we confess, if is a third-class condition, means maybe you will, maybe you won't. If we confess our sins, He is, always is, never a doubt. He is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all wrongdoing. I think it's time you to get this straight. You should deal with your mental attitude sins. You should deal with the sins of your flesh. You should deal with the sins of your words and your mouth and your tongue. You should deal with these sins because you are not ever going to glorify Jesus Christ walking around carnal under control of your sin nature. If you want to be a color bearer for our Lord Jesus Christ, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells you that. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not a request. It's a mandate. The color bearer must also understand that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. How are you going to tell somebody how to be saved if you don't understand it? It's not by giving up bubble gum. It's not by quitting drinking Coca-Colas. It's not by no longer saying dirty words. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 1:16. This is the most powerful thing I know in the world. He said in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is the most powerful thing in the world. It can change a person's life. It can change their destiny for sure, from hell to heaven. It can make them a new creature, born again. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. If you're going to lift up the colors, you have to know these things and be able to tell these people, "Fall in line, follow me." And if you're going to lift up the colors, you must be willing to follow orders. You've got to follow orders. In 1 John 5:3, "This is the love of God, that we keep His mandates, and they are not hard." This demonstrates your love for God, that you keep His mandates, and His mandates are not hard. That's a wonderful passage to remember. That's called virtue love. It's your motivational virtue in your life to be obedient, is your personal love for God. But how can you love a God you don't really know, you don't really understand? And that's why in Jeremiah, God said, "You've heard me say this to you," that He's looking for people that not only know Him, but understand Him. Are you willing to follow orders? Are you willing to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth? Because that's a mandate from God. And if you're going to follow the colors, if you're going to raise the colors, if you're going to stand out front and pick up the colors high, you must understand what it's going to cost you. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, told His disciples these words, John 16:2-3. "They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think they are doing God a favor. And these things they will do to you because they did not know the Father, nor did they know me." And the disciples did face this very thing, martyrdom. All of them martyred with the exception of John, isolated on the Isle of Patmos, spend out his life there. So there's a cost. If you're going to stand up front and lift up the colors, you're going to draw lead, as the soldier said in the war. They're going to shoot at you, and Satan's going to fire at you, fiery missiles. Will you be able to stand? Do you understand enough Scripture to use the shield of faith to deflect those missiles? The 160th Special Operation Aviation Regiment, called SOAR, S-O-A-R, Special Operation Aviation Regiment, is located at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. They're called the Night Stalkers, and they have a motto. The motto are the words of Isaiah the prophet. Hear those words, Isaiah 6, 8 through 9. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, and keep on hearing, but do not understand. They keep on seeing, but they don't perceive. God uses risk takers. To raise the colors, you're going to have to take a risk. To stand out front, you're going to have to take a risk. And just like the Special Operation Aviation Regiment, here am I, send me. Are you willing to tell God that? Here am I, use me. Because God uses prepared people. He has to use prepared people. And that's important for you to understand that. He uses prepared people. And so, are you prepared? Are you prepared? If you're willing to prepare, he'll call on you. I mean, isn't it about time you decided to start an intense course of God's Word so you can meet those qualifications? In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In closing, I remind you, the color bearer must be willing to stand the ground. He must not be afraid to risk it all, and he may have a life marked by sorrow, but it will be defined by joy. Listen to what happened to the Lord, Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and suffered the shame. The person who carries those colors must not put a premium on security. Is there anything in your life that's worth risking it all for? Those disciples risk everything to tell the world the good news. What about you? The one who lifts up Christ in the angelic conflict is going to have a lifestyle defined by trust. This is a wonderful principle for you. If you can trust the Father with your life, can you trust Him with the small things in your life? I mean, some of you get up every morning and say, This is the day the Lord has made, and I rejoice and have a superabundance of happiness in it because of His unfailing love and mercy every day. So you get up, and you know every day that you take a breath, God gave you that day. You know that. As I heard one friend say tonight, I'm still vertical, not horizontal. You know God gave you this day, so the question is, can you trust Him with your life, and why can you not trust Him in the small details of your life? Why do you insist on handling those details? At some time in your life, you know, when you don't know when, but you're going to be called on to step up and be counted. Sooner or later, God's going to call your number and say, front and center. When's that going to happen for you? When are you going to step up and carry the colors? I want to leave you with a small poem written by Nathalia Crane in 1926. And this poem is quoted in the book Follow the Colors, written by R.V. Thieme Jr., pastor of Baraka Church in Houston, Texas. Here's the poem. You don't choose the battlefield. God does that for you. But you can plant the colors where the colors never flew. That's my challenge to you. Are you willing to carry the colors of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to step out front of your family, your friends, and lift Him up? Are you willing to follow the colors that your pastor preaches on and he teaches the Word of God? That's his job as well, to lift up the Scriptures for you so you can follow the colors to the high ground in your spiritual life. Make no mistake about it. There's not one prayer that's going to change everything. It's you being solid and sound in spiritual growth. God said, I'm looking for someone among them to build up the wall, stand before me in the gap on the behalf of the land so I'd not have to destroy it, Ezekiel 22:30. But I couldn't find anybody. Can He count on you? Can our Lord count on you to carry the colors? Can He? I pray that's true. Thank you for listening. I pray you'll come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.